Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Buffalo's a very good team, but I thought we competed hard. And then about 30-minute mark, we had four or five opportunities going to the basket. We just didn't convert any of them. And you have to score points. They're a good team. We're not going to win too many games scoring 23 points in the second half. We've got a couple weeks before the conference starts. We've got to have some good work. We've got to work hard. We've got to get two games in, and we've got to get a lot better. The expectations are all based on we won three games last year. We lost 14 games last year in the regular season. We have the same team back with some help, but it's the same team that lost 14 games. So there's a reason we lost 14 games.
So having all five starters back doesn't mean...
They lost 14 games.
Right.
I've seen teams with all five starters back that lost 20 games. This team lost 14 games last year in the regular season, I think. Is that right, Mike? Somewhere in there. Pretty close. I've always tried to say this. This is what you are. Your record is what you are. This is what we are. It's not what people thought we could be or hope we could be or think we could be. This is what we are.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
All right, what's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it with your friends. And as always, subscribe. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. You can find us there on Facebook and Twitter. And we are the only show centered around giving the fans a platform. So welcome. That was 12 regular season losses, two post losses that Coach was talking about. Just thought I'd clear that up. Syracuse loses back-to-back non-conference games in the Dome for the first time since 1975, 71-59 against Buffalo. And this is why we can't have nice things, folks, because I end up throwing them. So you'll hear from us. We'll hear from you. And Arkansas State comes to the Dome December 22nd at 2 p.m., and we'll tell you what to expect there. But first, we've got to hear from the folks over at MyBookie. Bowl season is here. And it's time to get in on the action. If you're not getting in on the action with MyBookie, you're just not doing it right. So don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives and friends sit around watching the game. Not this year, not with a record 41 bowls to bet on, including the national championship on January 7th. It really is the most wonderful time of year, right? I mean, hence the intro music. Make sure you're ready for daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on, and if you want to make money during bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check it out for yourself. Join MyBookie today, and they will offer you 50 cents. A 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. Use promo code QS25 when you deposit to activate that offer. That's promo code QS25 at MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.
50 cents.
You get the 50 cents. You get that 50 cents. So, wow, it's rough. It's rough, but we're here. We're here with you. We're doing it together, folks. We're doing it together. You know, we're all feeling the same pain, you know? Right, Joe?
This is our therapy. Right, Joe? Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get into a couple things super quick here. Newly signed three-star recruit Cooper Dawson. He's a 6'5", 250-pound defensive end. He had one of the best signing day moments I think you'll ever watch. I thought it was fantastic. I may be biased because he committed to Syracuse, but pretty awesome. If you haven't seen it, we retweeted it from the Twitter, and CNY Central, and we put up CNY Central's video on Facebook as well, and you can check it out there. Joe, there's a couple more prospects that signed today. You want to clue us in?
No, we don't have to go too. Cool. We don't have to go too crazy into it, but you know, we had 17 players commit during this early signing period, so it's good to kind of get that out of the way. And Dino Babers had his press conference about the recruiting class and everything, and talked about how we have you know, plus or minus around 5 spots left. So between looking at graduate transfers, junior college guys, and kind of just trying to get the best available player. That's what they're kind of looking to fill the rest of their team with up until signing day, which I believe is February 4th. So, but yeah, overall, it was a good day. Everybody that we had committed, pretty much, I think everybody signed. So, and like you said, we had the Cooper Dawson commit, which is really, really cool. It's awesome to have, you know, those are the type of guys you want up in campus. You
class
know,
yeah, act, class man. Guys. Class right. act, that guy. Just amazing. So, really cool. So, real quick, because, like, I'm not even sure if I should bring it up, really, to be honest with you. But Joe and I, we try our best to toe the line between being maybe too emotional or too overreactive or knee-jerk, if you will. Especially, I mean, for me, mostly it's anger. For Joe, it's mostly, I don't know. He's too chill sometimes. But
No, I'm laid back. He's I don't laid like back, yeah. kind of overreact, you know.
But
it's early in the season.
You don't come here to hear us kick players and teams while they're down. And, you know, I wouldn't want to tune into a podcast and hear that. And I don't expect you would either. But you know, I can empathize with, you know, the comments last night. I mean, I get it. Some of it was a little brutal. I get the anger. I totally do. But I'm just going to support these guys no matter what. I love them. They're going through a rough skid right now. You heard Coach talk about the expectations were based on 3 games last year and the fact that we got 5 starters coming back. Well, like he said, those 3 games were won. Well, how many points did we win those games by? 3 points or 4? It was like less than 5 points for the 3 games.
I don't know. They were really close games, but
they were really close. And it's just, you know, it's rough. It is. It's rough. Yeah. And
a lot of people look forward to it. You know, they got the winter, you got the holidays coming up, and we usually do a lot better than that in non-conference. So I can understand the frustration, you know, it's early. And I know history doesn't really suit us well when it comes to a record like this in non-conference, but
do we want to mention that real quick, the record?
You can go ahead.
Well, so where is it? I had it down here. Yeah,
no, here
3 previous times under Boeheim when we've lost 4 non-conference games, they didn't make the tournament. In any of those years, 82, 15, and 17. So,
is it 4 or more, though?
What's that?
Is it 4 or more, though?
I think it's lost at least 4 conference games.
Okay.
So,
non-conference,
yeah. So,
well, that's not good. Only 3 in 43
years. No, it's not
years.
Good. Ugh. It's not good. But here's back to my original point is that we're kind of spoiled as Syracuse fans. It's been a little rough lately, but we're usually pretty spoiled, you know? It's just still coming together. That's all, you know, I don't want to sit here and sound like too much of a homer, but you know, we're going to take it game by game, and that's all I can do, you know?
No. Yeah. Well, that's all you can do at this point.
Like we talked about before,
in basketball, you have the positive aspect of being able to get better as the season goes on and be able to prove yourself and still get into the tournament later in the season. So, I mean, you know, we're setting the table for what we have to do in the ACC, and that's kind of what non-conference is. You know, you play some tough games and you play some cupcakes, and you kind of hope that you end up with a pretty decent,
record.
Table that's kind of set, you know, a record. And you know, if you end up like this, I mean, we end up, if we win our next 2 games, 9-4, like you said, history really doesn't, you know, bode too well for us. But That just tells you kind of what you need to do in the ACC, you know. And right now, we're not ready to compete in the ACC, so.
No, but the opportunities are there, and so we'll just have to see what happens. You know, when...
No, it's happened before.
Yeah, so. It's happened before, and, you know, I just...
tore through the Big East tournament with Jerry McNamara when we weren't going to make it, so.
Yeah, that was the year we won 10 effing games without Jerry McNamara.
Right, so, but stuff happens, so.
Yeah, so, anyways, we kid here a lot about Chukwu and stuff, but... You know, it's all in fun. There was some brutal stuff last night. So, a recap in 2 minutes or less, brought to us by JP Mulligan's Happy Hour every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Trivia Tuesdays, every NFL game every Sunday. And, of course, they play every Syracuse game. Go there, grab some wings, grab a cold one, stool up, get some swag. If Nick is behind the bar, and he'll hand you some things, and you can take them home and plaster them all over your vehicle and show everybody how cool you are when you have some Cuse Militia stickers and stuff. The Orange dropped to 7-4 overall, losing control of the game late again in the second half, this time against Buffalo. Syracuse still leads the series, though. The series is at 28-6. So that's pretty awesome. not like it matters. It was another ugly second half of basketball. Syracuse did not have an answer on either end of the ball late in the game. Hughes led the Orange with 16 points. He was 6 for 14 from the field, 42.8%, 2 for 4 of his free throws. And if you would have told me that Howard was finally going to have a breakout game compared to what he's done for the season, I would have said we'd probably win that game. But no. He was 5 for 13 for 13 points, and he was 3 for 5 from distance. Tyus struggled. He ended up with 11. Brissett scored 10, but I'm not sure how many he left on the court. He left at least 3 free throws on the court as he went 0-3 from the line. You know, and this is becoming a problem now. I think it's clear to everybody. 5 and 13 as a team for the game, 38.5%. They also got crushed on the boards again, 48 to 35. Holy cow. And 18 to 10 offensively, and those 18 for Buffalo were turned into 12 points. I'm not trying to be negative or anything, but they shot 57% in the first half.
Yeah.
Best of the season. They come out of the second half, they shoot 27.6% in the second. I'm like, what is going on? You know, I don't care how good of a first half you played, no matter how good it is, I mean, you're probably not going to win those games if you play like that in the second half. So the offense is bad right now. I talked to Joe earlier, and I didn't really feel him out too much for it, but I think it's time for some kind of set offense to be sprinkled in here one way or another somehow. You know, we can't wait until there's 3 to 10 seconds left in the shot clock to figure out, you know, who and where the ball is going to be shot. I mean,
yeah,
it's killing. I think the offense needs to be sped up, and we continue to do what we're doing on defense, and you can change the dynamic. Problem is, people are trying to create shots, and it's not working. It's not working.
No, it's predicated, like, our offense is predicated on pick and roll picks and off ball picks, trying to basically create switches and create mismatches, and then you try to get the ball to the mismatch, drive the lane, try to make something happen, just be aggressive, just try not to make dumb shots, you know? And just too many times when you watch, there's too many players just standing around and waiting for Tyus or somebody else to do something. And like you said, it's just bad right now, man. Like, it's just tough. Because, I mean, like you said, we shot really good, and we ended up shooting the game 42%, but still...
It was because of the 57, though, in the first half, and we were only up by 4 to go in the locker room, and that was due a lot of that was due, Joe, to the second chances Buffalo got, and we were, I'm not sure what the first half numbers were for field goals or for free throws, but you know, let's see.
Well, they scored too easy the last 10 minutes, like Boeheim said in his press conference, like after 30 minutes. We kind of just fell apart, and you know, I thought there's some bad calls out there. I don't want to blame the refs, but between the free throws and a couple of timely calls, it kind of took us, you know, too far out of the game at the end of the game, and it was just kind of bad timing the way that it worked out. And you know, we just have to do better finishing. I thought we were efficient shooting the 3-point ball the first half, but we weren't shooting a lot of them, you know. And then just to see us finishing 6 of 22. That's pretty bad. And, you know, the free throws were bad. We talked about it earlier. We had at least 3, if not 4, front end 1-and-1 free throw attempts missed.
I think we went back and counted. There was 4. Right?
Right. So, I mean, the turnovers were even. And you talked about the offensive rebound, second chance points, that kind of stuff. Boeheim talked about how there's a couple different times off turnovers and different rebounds where they got out and ran and they got some easy transition buckets. And C.J. Massenburg, like I talked about, came back with a vengeance. And, I mean, the guy shot he shot 50% for the day, 4 of 8 from the three-point line. I think he was 8 of 16. I had 25 points. So he was an animal. And Buffalo, I mean, I don't want to – I mean, I haven't watched enough basketball to say that they're definitely a top 15 team, but they are a for-real team that is – Definitely going to be a problem for whoever they, you know, face in the tournament. So they might not even have to win their conference to get into the tournament.
I mean, what'd you think of the defense overall? It was more or less the boards that was killing the defense, you know, because in the first half they weren't faring real well. They were shooting, they were just launching up threes. They just weren't going. I'm talking about Buffalo. That is, you know, they got some.
Oh, that's what saved them the first half.
Yeah, saved Syracuse. Yeah. Absolutely.
No, it saved Buffalo. I thought we could have been up a lot more. They didn't shoot very well at all. I mean, I thought the percentage as far as they were in the 20s, I believe, and we were 57%. We were only up 4.
Right.
So, I mean, the second chance points, and when we actually forced turnovers, we'd come back and just get another turnover, like those kind of things.
Dribbling off the leg or the
right.
Foot.
That kept Buffalo closer than what it probably should have been in the first half.
They did come out with energy, though. They came out with energy, unlike they did against ODU. The game was very similar to ODU, like eerily similar.
No, they came out with energy. They came out with energy. I thought both games. That's what's weird, because we always talked this all the way up to ODU. We were talking about they were slow starters.
Right.
The first half was the rough half, and then we'd always have to come back in the second half. Uh-huh. And then the last two games has been the complete opposite. We've came out and we've played pretty good, you know, relative to how we played this year in the first half, and we've gone into the half with leads, just to come back and really kind of get crushed in the second half.
Yeah, well, let's from here. How about we do some fan feedback? Yeah,
all right. Is it positive?
Right? Huh?
Dude, look, like you said, I'm kind of all on board with just, you know, you got to take it one game at a time. I know that, you know, the record doesn't look good, but hey, I mean, the four teams that we played against actually really have a really – or lost against, we have a really good chance of all being tournament teams. Ohio State, their only loss right now is us, so that's going to be a decent win when it comes down to it. So the numbers are going to be there. It's just we got to figure it out, get these next two non-conference games, and get ready for ACC play.
Yeah, honestly, I thought we were going to beat Buffalo. I thought we, because this team is so good at, they're so resilient. They bounce back usually. They respond to that a lot of times, you know? And I really thought they were going to come out and they were going to beat Buffalo. I knew it was going to be close. But, I mean, you kind of had to have one of those two games. And obviously, if you had to pick one, I guess you'd pick the ODU game at home like that. But,
no, either one.
But either one.
It's just, Buffalo, like I said, they're on a different level.
That's a bad loss,
you know,
though. That's a worse loss at the end of the day.
Buffalo?
I'm sorry. ODU is a worse loss at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely is, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. You know, if you had to pick one or the other, I guess the ODU one because it looks worse. But on the resume. So, you know, we got some cupcake games coming up, kind of, and
I'd hate to call it that after that.
I know. Well, we can piggyback off of comments. Let's do this.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House, the best damn college sports fans in the nation.
All right, you know what to do. The universal handle on the Twitter and the Facebook is at Cuse Militia. I propose a question at the end of every game. Go there and leave us your thoughts. And it was flooded last night.
Mm-hmm.
Some good, some bad, some
not bad,
really bad. So I'm not going to touch the really nasty ones. This is the nastiest one I'll touch. I'm going to do it first. At USA Proud 123, this is the most boring, no passion group of guys I have ever seen. Frank Howard is a wimp. Brissett is way overrated. I think Battle is a good player, but not a leader. All other players, including Buddy, should be in Division III teams. Boeheim recruiting sucks. So,
Joe. Yeah, that's just.
Joe.
I almost want to say that's troll, but I mean that's just you can't. They're not Division III team. They're players. I don't know what he's talking about. That's
overboard.
But
it's way overboard. But it just you know.
That's kind of like
recruiting. I will say something about the recruiting. I said this to my brother today. I said, you know, the writing was kind of on the wall with the center position. It's been like that for a couple of years. I would have thought that they could have maybe found something. I mean, I don't know. You know, I know they were trying. I knew they were trying. But at Chris Pallone, can't shoot, can't rebound. But if you like to watch four guys stand around 25 feet from the hole as one dude tries to create, this is your team.
Well, it's kind of what it looks like every once in a while.
Every once in a while. That is the offense in a nutshell. It really is. It's all putting on. It's all being put on Tyus, and well, I can't say that. Not all of it, because Hughes
it's
is
not always.
Up.
It's just, but it's a lot of one on one. It's not creative.
No, you're
I mean,
right.
I understand where people are coming from.
Yeah, it's not creative. That's the key word right there. That's a good way to put it. At Keeler Connor. Just a disappointment all around. Our centers were non-existent as usual. Brissett needs to stop shooting the three ball and drive to the lane. We miss crucial one-and-ones. I'm not even mad anymore like I have been the last few games. I'm just disappointed. Joe.
That's even worse.
That's even worse? Really? I thought that was very fair.
No, I'm just saying as far as being disappointed, it's like one of those things where you're like, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. Like, that's worse.
Yeah, it's like you've just submitted. Like, you've just rolled over and pissed on your own belly.
Right. And it's almost, right.
Right?
We're 11 games in and you're like, this is what it is.
Yeah, this is a disappointment. At Vival Orange, garbage again. This team is not a good team right now. They are out-hustled and leave too many points on the board. With horrendous free throw shooting. Yeah, they're leaving. Brissett left a lot of points out on the floor.
Yeah.
Minus, you take his three.
It's not just even free throw shooting.
No, I'm saying.
I mean, sometimes it's just missing the easy ones, missing the
like
bunnies.
Like a dunk? Look.
Maybe.
Look, I mean, you got to make a dunk. A dunk doesn't have to be slamming the ball through the hole at 100 miles an hour. You know, Tyus had a beautiful dunk. Had he missed it, he'd have looked like a total idiot because he was wide open. You know what I'm saying? So,
so
that's the risk you take when you try to be flashy. And Brissett bouncing off the iron, back of the iron, and you know it looked goofy. So,
Well, I wouldn't say. I mean, there's kind of. I mean, just like any sport, like there's a luck factor when it comes to a certain. You know, timely calls, timely turnovers off of different turnovers, and like basically overall points you leave off like the on the court, like what he was talking about. And I just think like right now, I mean, we would be like dead last when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like all the little things, you know, the, even coming down to luck in certain calls. I mean, it just kills us. Like we don't get those points right now anyway. So it just is what it is, you know.
Right. At @jbex_5. Hate to say it, but Boeheim has to hang it up. Hate to say it, but Boeheim has to hang it up or be open to running more modern day offense. One-on-one ISOs or a simple ball screen doesn't work anymore. #Hopkins. Hopkins has moved on. He's where he wants to be, folks.
Right.
That is, you know, he's back home in his hometown, so that ain't happening.
Yeah. Well, but, at some point, I mean, I hate the fact you like people calling out, obviously, the coaches and this and that, and we've been huge on, you know, the coaching and sticking up for him and everything, and obviously, I don't want anybody to lose their job, or nor do I think anybody should be fired, but, I mean, we've had recent success, but you know, you sometimes wonder the way that the game is played now with, you know, 3-point shots, you know, they're getting eaten, more people are shooting them a little bit farther. And it really doesn't really go well with the 2-3 zone, you know? So sometimes,
the game is surpassing.
Dude, I'm just thinking, cause like, think about how long it's been. Like, we grew up and we've always really never had, I mean, I don't remember a lot of times where there was a problem for us to make the tournament. Like, not too many times have we been on the bubble. Usually we're solidly in, mm-hmm. you know? And now, like, the last 5-6 years, it's been like bubble. Like,
it's actually been longer than that. It seems like that, but if you go back and look, it's been touch and go. It has.
Right. So, I mean, realistically, you know, you just kind of got to look at it like you got to make something happen. You know, as a coach, if something's not working, you got to make something happen. So I just think he's trying to, you know, wait out this whole Frank Howard thing. I think we do have, you know, at least definitely this next one, but maybe even St. Bonaventure as well. Like you said, I don't want to call them cupcakes, but we should win those games. And hopefully, you know, I think it's going to be one of those things where he allows these next two games to kind of get the stuff together before the ACC play, or else we might see some major changes as far as what we're going to do, because obviously something's not working.
Yeah, well, and I would say it's mostly on offense, because the games that we are winning are usually because of the defense. They're always low score, close games, you know, right. And I think something needs to be changed on offense. I want to see, I mean, look, I'm not a freaking coach, man. I'm just saying, I remember back in the day, the offense ran a little faster and the defense slowed the opposing team's offense down. And it was a horrible combination for opponents.
Right.
And, you know, and the fast breaks and the alley-oops and stuff like that, like, it's just not in sync. If you're creating your own plays, it's just not in sync.
Right.
So, and I don't know, you know, maybe a lot of it has to, you know, Pascal Chukwu, he comes up, he draws a pick in our screen, and then, I mean, you know, it's like the same thing over and over again. It's only a matter of time before they're like, okay, they know what's going to happen. They know what's going to happen, and that's why at the end of the game, they're running out of options, because they're like, well, we've seen this 20 times already.
Right.
So, you know, at Guinea Snake 32, people who think Jim Boeheim needs to be fired are honestly insane. How entitled and brain dead do you have to be to realize that he is the only reason we're in half these games? I don't see him shooting free throws or missing rebounds at the end of the game, yet everyone is hating. Right? That's bold. That's bold. That's a small fish in a big pond full of big fish.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't much of that on the thread. Yeah, I don't, like I said, man, I don't think it's Jim Boeheim needs to go. I think Jim Boeheim is a good enough coach to maybe just change some things, tweak some things, and he can still have his signature defense, and the team could be better. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. Let's see. At Orange Party 2003. Got to want to play. All the talent in the world doesn't trump effort. When this team finds the will and wants to win, they will go on a roll. Yeah, I mean, that actually piggybacks on exactly what I just said.
Right. So, and a lot of it too has been effort, like you said. I mean, going back from the UConn game to Old Dominion to Buffalo, especially, like, I mean, out of the games we've lost, I mean, talent-wise, I think Oregon was the only team that maybe had more talent than us. I mean, these other teams, it was all effort. And, I mean, again, it's like one of the more talented teams that we've seen. I mean, I think we have some good players on our team, but they just don't play well together. I mean, you look at the point guard to power forward position, there's not too many teams in the country that have the players that we have. It's just they just don't play together. Like, they just can't seem to get it done together.
What in your opinion does it look like? I mean, is it selfish play? Is it I don't know either.
I think a lot of it had to do early with just a leader, as far as being able to have a point guard to run the show, and that we were looking for that to be Frank Howard. And I think, again, the things that we've talked about, I think we're still waiting for that. So
can Frank
without Howard, a leader, you know, it just, I mean, your quarterback's your leader in football, you know, and same thing with point guard. He runs the show. And if they're not on point, then it can make the whole thing look bad. Yeah. So
it's it's exactly. Ken on Facebook, a loss is always disappointing, but let's not forget these kids are busting their ass. You can't create or fix talent, but you can fix free throw shooting and protecting the ball. Definitely two areas we'll need for close games after New Year's. We still gonna dance with a heart orange basketball emoji.
I love it. I love the
you like the confidence in Ken. We still gonna dance.
I do.
Look,
I do, because he's right. Because I mean, it's like we talked about before, the little things. It's right now. I mean, this year it's been. I mean, you look at rebounding and free throw shooting, and we're in almost every single game at the end of it.
Basic, fundamental stuff.
Things you can control, man.
Yeah. And this backs that last comment from Nick. I think the biggest problem we lack is strength. We're so tall and long that we can't box out or post up. They get out rebounded all the time because no one hustles to find the body to box out when the shot is up. Okay, so in the zone, Joe, the first thing you need to do is get to your area. If there's someone to box out, there's someone to box out. But a lot of times there's not.
Yeah, well, usually it's an area, but it's the closest man to your area. But as the ball moves and shots go up, I mean, everybody is rotating and moving around. And it's more of a rebounding your area type thing, you know?
Right.
Kind of like, you know, you want to try to get a... You want to try to get a body on the ball, but you can't leave areas wide open depending on where the ball is going to go. So it's kind of a – sometimes it's as much as you say it. I mean, it's just a kind of an effort thing right there.
Right.
You know?
And that's why Boeheim likes these long players, because he assumes that they're going to be able to get up for these balls.
Right. Because you're not always necessarily going to be in position to get a body on everybody. So it comes down to just – being able to possibly read the ball going up, coming off the rim, and just basically, again, like we talk about, just effort. Like a lot of these games, it doesn't, like you said, we don't look interested. And you can tell the other teams are, they just look like they're playing harder.
Yeah, no, like they definitely care are. More. They
you
definitely
know, just,
are.
I mean,
and you know what kills me is that Buffalo, I mean, they showed Buffalo head coach, what's his name? Refresh my memory real quick.
Nate Oates.
Yeah. They showed him talking in the locker room pregame, and he was telling him, he's like, you guys are better. You guys have more energy. You know, you play harder than them, but they're not going to give it to you. And everything he said is true.
Yeah.
They did play
hard. They kept with it, and they ended up taking it from
him. Yeah. And, you know, effort. It's the little things. These are fixable things. That's what's so frustrating.
Right.
You know, so Steven.
It's all effort and concentration. That's.
Yeah. Steven says Buffalo did all the right things. They played smart, knew their roles, and had more heart. The Orange too often looked lost on offense and, for whatever reason, lacked the heart and will to match Buffalo. Our centers seem to have. I don't know. They seem to have regressed. And overall, it's hard to see any team leadership, which is really frustrating. Yeah, I mean, that encapsulates everything we were just talking about, too. Matthew says, this team needs an actual center, not just some tall guy who they put there because he has long arms.
I'm sure you love that one.
But he can catch old stone hands. Someone like Hakeem Warwick, Orenzi Anawaku, Rick Jackson, or Fab Melo that won't get pushed around and can demand the ball offensively. Right now, most of their baskets rely on passing the ball around the arc until someone shoots a semi-contested three or goes one-on-one off of the way too predictable pick and roll. Matthew nails it. We see a theme. I didn't purposely try to do that, but I did purposely try to pick things that I thought encapsulated that game the best, and without getting too mean. And that's why I just did the first one there. But So, I mean, you know, we're just going to have to get 2 weeks. We got 2 weeks. Okay?
Yep.
Once the first of the year hits, like, it's time to rock and roll.
It's go time.
It's go time, and we'll see how they respond. So that is that. All right, Arkansas State comes into the Dome Saturday, December 22nd at 2 p.m. They sit at 5-6 right now. They've won every home game, and they've lost every away game. So they're actually 1-2 on neutral courts. Arkansas hits 40% of their field goals, 34.9% from three, and 74.2% from the line. Two guys averaging double digits every game. Their best player, Ty Cockfield, shoots 45% from the field and 43.9% from behind the arc, and he averages 21.3 points a game. They basically got Cockfield.
Right.
Right.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
That's pretty much what I gathered when I looked at, you know. I mean, there's not too much to it, Sean. I mean, we just have to win. I'm not going to go into semantics of who's – I'm not going to even go through their whole – you know, like you said, they got Cockfield. They got a guy, Gillard, who can kind of go off. He went off for 17 this past game. But pretty much Ty Cockfield has been the guy. I mean, he's scored over 20 points. I'm looking at least 8 times. So they're going to huck up threes. Their top three scorers shoot pretty good from the three-point line. And – they're just a small, guard-oriented Sun Belt team who's probably going to come out and play hard, but they are sloppy. Ken Pomeroy's got them really, really, I mean, shoot, 269th. So adjusted offense, 283, adjusted defense, 172. Just, they're not really, I mean, we got to win. That's all there is to it. I mean, I'd give them a little bit more, but I mean, I don't really want to waste my breath because if we lose, we're, you know.
If we lose, bro, if we lose this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they allow so many more. I mean, I don't know. It's just tough. They allow more points against them than they score. So, it's just.
Yeah, you're talking totals, obviously, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they let 94 go by, 89 go by, 96 go by, 90,
and they haven't really played anybody
87,
good.
Right. They had 90 against Eastern Illinois, 90 against Abilene Christian, 96 against Grand Canyon. Okay? Yeah. I didn't even know Grand Canyon had a basketball team. Who would have thought?
Yeah. I knew that. Actually, their head coach is Dan Marley, the old Phoenix Suns coach.
Yep.
Yeah, they're actually not awful, but they, I mean, their best team they played against probably only Power 5 team at Minnesota and lost by what, 16. So
yeah.
And Minnesota's really not the best team either. So we just have to go in and honestly, we have to go in and kind of make Arkansas State. I mean, just kind of be like, sorry, I'm sorry, we don't mean it to be you. Yeah, nothing against you, nothing personal. But we need to do this for us right now. You know what I mean? Like, and you just gotta hope it's gonna be that kind of game.
Yeah, and
because I'm sick of this other. I mean, at some point they just gotta. I mean, at some point, aren't you just like kind of
frustrated, embarrassed? Like, look, and I'm not trying to. This is not a dig. This is not a dig. But in the loss against Buffalo, there was a lot of Buffalo fans there, and they were actually cheered. As the Buffalo fans were cheering, obviously, it was loud enough to where it resonated in that dome as Syracuse walked off the court and Buffalo yeah. held their hands in victory. That has got to do something to you
right.
as a player.
If you're a competitor, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, and if you had any type, it doesn't matter what happened last year, like, if you had any type of goals this year, you know, I mean, there's still 20 regular season games, not counting conference tournament. In any type of postseason tournament, if you had any type of goals, you know, like now is the time where something's got to go on.
Yeah, like,
something's got to happen.
Something's got to be thrown down. I mean, you know, another thing to mention about Arkansas State is that they're pulling in like 1,000 fans every game.
Wow, that's impressive.
You know, so. They're going to be in front of Saturday afternoon, Arkansas State, 20,000. Take away the losses. I still say we pull 14,000. What do you think?
I mean, honestly, I'm really not going to give a number because I have no idea.
Well,
I know, obviously, from last night, we know that the fans are
not happy.
It's upset. Yeah, exactly. Out of the last two games, I mean, I don't know how much fans are going to pay to go watch this.
Oh, well, you know, a lot of those fans have season tickets. I mean, season ticket holders everywhere. So
yeah, well, then you know what? On top of that, too, I mean, with the holiday weekend and people maybe coming home for the holidays and stuff, you never know when people come home and want to catch a game. So
that's true, too. That's a good point. So it could go either way, really.
Right. Never know. All I know is that we need to win.
I just thought I'd dig there.
I'm not even worried about
it. I dig Arkansas State there on that, on their attendance.
Yeah. I don't.
We know, Joe. Don't. You don't. You don't want to guess. We know.
I don't care about that.
You don't care.
I know you don't care.
I do. I thought it was funny.
I don't care about the attendance. I don't care if there's nobody there and there's nobody in the gym and no cameras. They better just go and win.
Oh, you're talking about you're talking about our attendance. Yeah. Yeah. Well, whatever. I hope there's cameras there though.
No. I'm just saying.
Because I'm not going to be able to watch it. But
yeah,
you don't like guessing anything, but you were right. I will concede that you said Buffalo was going to come out, or Syracuse was going to come out as a couple point favorite over Buffalo. I said, no way. You're right.
Hmm?
So
thank you.
I figured I'd do it on air.
Even though I picked Syracuse to win, I did pick Buffalo in my book you picked.
That's right. You did, didn't you? You did. Mm-hmm. You picked them to win, but so you won the bet. You just.
Mm-hmm.
You just sold your team out, though, to do it.
There was a chance that we could have won, and they could have won with the
team. Oh, absolutely.
Stop it. You just stop it.
I know. I'm just playing. So, yeah.
Don't put that on me.
No, okay. All right. Well, all right, we're rambling. So, I guess that's it, right? Saturday.
It's been rough, man.
I know. It's sorry, guys.
At least there was a positive, you know, with the recruiting class and everyone, you know.
Yeah, the football game's coming up. We got something planned for football for the West Virginia game. And you know what? Another good thing, and we didn't really mention it or hit on it briefly in my recap. Frank Howard, you know, he did score. I mean, I know it's 13 points. Oh, big deal, right? Well, his average is like 4 a game, and
right.
He's been awful. So,
right. But that's not what we look for him to do. I mean, he's got to be a leader. He's got to be able to drive and kick just like he used to. And
but it doesn't hurt to score.
Obviously, it doesn't hurt, but we still need him to be able to. He can score and still fulfill his other duties. If he's scoring and not doing what he's supposed to be doing, then there's an issue.
Yep. So, all right. Thanks to JP Mulligans and Shoppingtown Barbershop.
Dude, they're moving.
Gonna be Shoppingtown Barbershop still.
They're moving.
But they're moving. Yep. They're getting out of Shoppingtown Mall because it's become a desert.
Yes.
So they're moving to
the Fremont Plaza
on 290, Manlius Center.
Right across from Red Apple.
Yep. Yep. There used to be a Kinney's Drug right there. What?
Yep.
Is the Kinney's Drug still there? It is, isn't it?
No. I don't know.
There used to be a Tim Hortons there. I know, but I didn't go over there.
Yeah. Timmy Ho's didn't last that long there.
No, it didn't. So thanks to Shoppingtown Barbershop. No longer going to be in the mall as of, I believe, March. So they're still there now. But anyway, yeah, that's it. Thanks, Armchair All-Americans. Thanks to you guys for participating. Thanks for you guys for listening. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out. Cue the bells.
Hey.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast. The Fan's Voice with Sean and Joe.
Seriously? Seriously? At the last second like that? Man, it's weak.
Do you want to do it over?
Yeah, let's edit that out. Oh, dude, you did it again!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.